demonstrate that by walking after his commandments. And we don't do this obedience out of a fear. There's a difference between fear and reverent fear. Fear that I'm talking about is people that live under a dictatorship, that live under iron rule, that worry all the time, am I going to be killed? Or if I even think about replacing this guy in power with somebody else. And you've read, and I have too, about people that would want to get out from under that kind of rulership and begin to talk to somebody else, and they might agree with you. Well, come to find out, they may be a subject of the king or the dictator, and go back to him and tell him, and first thing you know, you find yourself in front of a firing squad. We don't serve God out of a fear like that. I serve him because I got a passion to please him. Hallelujah. I want to love him so much that I do not want to disappoint him or displease him in any way, in any fashion. And just like that, we should love one another, not by commandment only, but because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. The next thing is the nature of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is a moral and a spiritual kingdom that is past, present, and future, where God reigns in our hearts in Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's a heavenly kingdom, which is above all principalities and powers, with Jesus Christ as King. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28:18. And all the nations and the kingdoms of this world are inferior to his authority and his power. Don't ever believe that this something in this world is going to overtake his kingdom. It's not. Amen. And as citizens of the kingdom of God, we have an obligation to live above reproach and to give honor to the one in authority, that is Jesus Christ. I tell you, he said, the kingdom is not of meat and drink, but it is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Simply saying, the kingdom of God is not about the things of this world. It's about the things of the world to come. The eternal things. Amen. Amen. What is the purpose of the kingdom? The purpose of the kingdom simply is to grow. And Jesus gave an example of that when he said it's like a grain of mustard seed that grows up into a huge tree that even the birds of the air can make their nest and can dwell in the branches of the tree. And Daniel witnessed the kingdom of God as fulfilling the whole earth. Daniel 2:35. And even Isaiah talked about it, about how the kingdom of God will one day subdue and put all the kingdoms of the world under his power. I tell you, God has purposed that his kingdom will abide forever. And he said it will even increase like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. God will continue to multiply not only the natural but the spiritual seed of Abraham, just like he said. Amen. And it's God's will that the church continually witness a harvest of souls into the kingdom. That's why we're here. We receive the Holy Ghost and we get to be part of the kingdom of God. It's our obligation to see that everybody we come in contact with has an opportunity. Will they all do it? No, absolutely not. Not everybody you contact and tell about Christ is going to heed your word. But I tell you, it does not lessen the fact that it is our obligation to tell everyone we see about Jesus Christ. Amen. The next purpose of the kingdom of God is to defend it. As members of the kingdom of God and the body of Christ, we stand in defense of the gospel. Paul declared to the Philippians that he was set for the defense of the gospel. And without the truth in our hearts, I tell you, we're no match for the deceitfulness of Satan and his lies. We have to have the power of God within us. Amen. Proverbs 23 says, to buy the truth and sell it not. I tell you, if we believe a lie, you're going to be condemned. But if we love the Lord with all our hearts, I tell you, his love is going to shine through you. And you will be an exhibit of his love and his grace. Amen. The next thing, we're purposed to attack. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Jesus' words to Peter actually challenged him and others to storm the gates of hell. We read that scripture about, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm telling you, we're not only to take a defensive position against the world. We're supposed to take an offensive position proclaiming the gospel to the whole world. Amen. We have to enter, as the scripture says, into the highways and the byways and the hedges. And he said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. That's talking about evil spirits. He has given you power to overcome the enemy. I don't care what he throws at you. Amen. Because I'm telling you, the strongholds of demon possession and alcohol, drug addiction, pornography and the pride of life. I tell you, the power of God, Satan is no match for that. I don't care how bad it is. Amen. But we should be constantly on the attack against Satan, never turning around in fear. I tell you, you have to face your enemy. You can't be turning around and running the risk of being attacked from behind. So we need to be on the offensive. The purpose to overcome. And Jesus said unto Peter, flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you, Peter, and thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16 and 18. I tell you, Jesus Christ is the rock upon which his church shall be established, and he is going to overcome and has overcome death, hell, and the grave. Satan does not own one key. He had them all snatched away from him. He does not own one key. He does what he does by lying and by deceit. And we have to recognize that. But we shall overcome the enemy by the power of the Spirit. By faith we believe that we shall subdue all principalities and power through the power of his name. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We don't rely on our might. We don't rely on our power. I rely on the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. If you'll notice the progression in that scripture, it's receiving the Holy Ghost, it's the reception of power, and it's witnessing with extraordinary results. When I was reading that parable, and I got to thinking, I'm going to make you ruler over 10 cities. What if God spoke to your heart and he said, okay, Lake Charles, Sulphur, Carlisle, La Blue Settlement, DeQuincy, Singer, Oreta, Ragley, Longville, and began to name them all and said, that's yours. That's your territory. I'm telling you, folks, we have an obligation living for God and trying to promote the kingdom of God and get people in the kingdom of God. This thing has gotten a hold of me. And I don't want to stand before him with my one talent and say, well, I took care of this, and him tell me, you slothful servant. Give it to somebody else. Amen. I tell you, witness is not showing what we can do for God, but it's showing and telling what God has done for us. It's not by my might nor by my power, but by my spirit. And after the Holy Ghost has come on me, the scripture says, I will receive power to be a witness, starting right here into the uttermost parts of the earth. As sons of God and heirs and joint heirs with Christ, we will be with him as long as we remain in his kingdom. Hallelujah. And since Jesus overcame the world, we should believe that our faith in him as Savior and Lord will deliver us from every trial in every affliction. I tell you, I want my victory song to be one of praise. And Revelations 12 and 11 talks about how we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I have an obligation to let the blood of the Lamb that has washed away my sins and given me power through the Holy Ghost, I have an obligation to overcome by the word of my testimony to other people. Amen. Amen. The last thing is, how does all of this climax? Although we did not deserve or earn any kind of blessings, we are accountable to Him for what He has given us and for what we do with what He has given us. Jesus commanded them. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. It was freely given to me, and I must freely give it away. Amen. To promote the kingdom of God. And we should not glory or trust in our flesh. For I tell you what, the very God that gave them to us is going to hold us accountable one day. Amen. And in our text again, to this slothful servant, he said, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Why didn't you put my money in the bank and just let it earn interest and I would receive it with usury? Why didn't you just do that? I'm telling you, there is a consequence to pay for a person that does not actively work in the kingdom of God. And I'm talking to myself. I felt so inadequate when I began to read and study this. I said, Lord, I hadn't even scratched the surface. I need to do more. I need to do more. I tell you, our faithfulness to God in both material and spiritual things is going to determine our reward in the coming kingdom. And I'm closing this morning. So while we're passing through this world as pilgrims and strangers, and we ought to be pointing other people to Jesus Christ. And as we get closer and closer to His coming, and I'm telling you, folks, I feel like Christ's coming is just right around the corner. I read this scripture and talking about the embassy of men that said, we don't want this man for our king. I'm telling you, more and more this day, you read and hear about people want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. I do not want this man ruling over me. I want to do my agenda. I want to do what I want to do. And, of course, the last scripture tells what's going to happen to them. Matthew 24 and 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 25 and 21, and the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's what I want to hear. I want to be found working in the kingdom of God and promoting the kingdom of God so that He can say, enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Let's work for the kingdom of God. Let's do what we can. I know we get tired and we get weary, but I tell you, we have an obligation to take the things God has given us and promote the kingdom of God. God bless you this morning. I love you. Thank you for your kind attention. We'll take a quick break and be back for our worship service.